Hello, and welcome to the Personal Wealth Coach. This is Jake McClure, and I'll be talking to you today solo. Jeff is off traveling across the country, seeing sights, hopefully enjoying family and friends. So I'm here all alone today, and I have some wonderful things to talk about. Tariffs. Yes, tariffs. A wonderful subject. I'm going to be talking about both the Biden administration and the Trump administration, and I'm going to say some things that's going to cause a lot of people to think that I must be either an extreme right-winger or an extreme left-winger. If you're on the left-wing, you'll think I'm right-wing and vice versa. So it should be fun. Let's see how many people we can make frustrated by my words today. I'll be back on the other side of the bumper music with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. Welcome back to the Personal Wealth Coach with today, just Jake McClure. I wanted to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart because I believe that trade is the lifeblood of the economy. In fact, sort of that's what the economy is. It's kind of like saying blood is the lifeblood of the body. Yes. So I alluded to this a bit. During the Trump administration, late into 2018, President Trump announced tariffs against the entire planet, a 25% tariff on steel and a 10% duty on aluminum. Since then, that's still there. It's an executive order, and it's the president's privilege and honor, or whatever you want to call it, to add those and take those away for purposes that he, and eventually maybe she, may deem in the best interest of the country for military sake and for other areas. And we talked about this back in 2018 and 2019, that yes, China was dumping and is dumping very heavily government-subsidized metals and products made from metals onto the market, way below the price of actually creating it, even for them. The government in China is funding that. And Donald Trump pointed out and said, that's not a good idea. This is bad. This is really bad. So he imposed the 25% tariff on steel and a 10% on aluminum. What is a tariff? And I've been asked that a lot. People kind of think, well, this must be a penalty against the nation that's trying to export it to us that we're importing from. The thing with a tariff is it's a tax, and it's 100% of what provided the revenue to the government of the United States prior to the income tax, or near 100%. It's a tariff. A tax is anytime an item is coming across the border toward the inside, an import, we impose a tax on the value of whatever it is that is being imported. Well, how do we know what the value is? Well, you're supposed to have a bill of lading of how much it costs, but anybody that has shipped anything into the country in the past knows pretty clearly, you just mark on there on the form, this is what it cost, regardless of what it cost. Now, that's all well and good until Immigrations and Custom Enforcement steps in. This is an area of our government that is under a great, massive deal of strain. ICE is in charge of immigration and customs. Customs means tariffs. And during the Trump administration, we said, hey, this is phase one of the trade war. We're going to impose these tariffs. Tariffs are a tax. And they're a tax on the buyer, not the seller. It can impact the seller's business because their prices go up. But they don't pay the tax. That's paid by the person or people or companies or whatever that are buying the products. So a cheap metal good from China is no longer cheap when it comes to the United States because it has a tariff, 25% tariff on that. This is important to understand because it affects the price of steel in general in the places that have the tariff. You would think there's this thought that is held by many, many people that doesn't really bear up, that if you add a tariff to this, that means that the homegrown item, our own U.S. steel manufacturers, will be benefited by this. And what tends to happen is that the price of the steel in the United States goes up to the same price as the tariffed steel coming in. Why? Supply and demand. At the very beginning, and it's not like some nefarious people in a back room somewhere in the dark with smoke in the air saying, we'll now raise our prices by the amount of the tariff. No, that's not how it works. What happens is that when people are looking for steel, if you're building a water tower or putting a roof on a building or constructing a skyscraper, you take bids from different steel suppliers. And if suddenly one or a group of your normal steel suppliers are 25% more expensive, well, you start hunting around. So does everybody else. So you have steel manufacturers in the United States that say, hey, we've got cheaper steel. Well, there's this mad rush to go and buy the steel from them because they're cheaper. That causes them to not have enough raw materials to make the steel anymore. So they've got to rush to their suppliers, and this is something that I emphasized in 2018, and I haven't really talked about it since then. The real problem isn't steel, it's iron. We only make in the United States less than 10% of the iron of this iron in general. It's only 10%, less than that most of the time, mined in the United States. That's a real strategic issue. And generally speaking, it's well below that. It's been running in below 6%. And if you consider that as the real issue, well, where's the iron coming from? It's coming from a lot of places. It's not monopolized like what China has done. But iron mines are dirty and they are dangerous. And if they're not dangerous, it's because a lot of safety measures have been implemented, which makes it more expensive. So it's not competitive. So we're importing the steel. Tariffs go up. The folks in the United States that are making steel are now demanding more iron. Well, the Chinese didn't stop making steel, so they're also demanding iron. And again, they import most of their iron as well. There's not a lot in the way of iron mines left in China. They've been mining iron for about 2,500 years over there, so they have depleted a lot of the easy resources. So they're importing iron as well. So we go out and say, we need more iron. The iron prices go up. This is supply and demand. It's hard to get to enough local sources of iron or even decently, reasonably shippable sources of iron without affecting the price. What's more, the facilities in the United States aren't large enough to produce enough steel to meet the demand, so they run at maximum capacity. And they slowly raise the price of the steel because their suppliers are raising their prices. They're breaking equipment because they're going too hard trying to make the steel. And it reaches an equilibrium that's very roughly parallel to the price of Chinese steel with a tariff on it. So overall, that was one of the things that we talked about in 2018 and 2019 as a possible future cause of inflation. Is that if we have an arbitrary rise in a price, it's not just stuck in a little vacuum somewhere, although there is a lot of steel in vacuums if you go down that road, but that's a sucky subject, so we won't go there. The idea here is that by adding the tariff, that is instant inflation. It's even measured that way. When we look at the CPI or the PPE or any of the other letter soup combinations we use to measure inflation, it includes taxes in there. And that was a tax hike from President Donald Trump, who was also responsible for a big tax cut. It's important to know. Well, I'm recording this Wednesday, April 17th. It'll probably come out Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. President Joe Biden is announcing today at a union meeting that China is a great threat and that he is imposing a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum from a 7.5% tariff that he had placed on it. And again, in a vacuum, that sounds, oh, he's just doing what Trump did. It's on top of what Trump did. Biden is doing something beyond what Trump did. The Trump tariffs still exist. This is the area where I'm going to get people upset at me. In the world of trade, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are identical as far as their actions go. I know that's the thing that's going to get everybody upset. They go, what do you mean? Trump is either a saint or a demon. Joe Biden is either a saint or a demon. Either way, they're both old. Now I've insulted everybody enough that we can move on. The new tariff that is being imposed on Chinese steel is at 25%. That means on top of the existing 25%. And it's totally separate. So the additional 25% on aluminum is on top of the 10% that Donald Trump imposed. So we have an effective 50% tariff on steel and a 35% tariff on aluminum. What will that do to metal prices and things created with metal? Across the board in the United States, we're going to see inflation on anything that was made with steel or aluminum. That's a lot of stuff. Is it a bad idea to do this? I think there are better ways of approaching a trade war than taxing your own population. The Chinese, there's no doubt about this, are being unfair in the way they're approaching trade. If the government steps in and gives a whole bunch of money to the steel manufacturers and buys the steel for them, in essence, and then they sell it out, that's not fair. I'm not trying to equate fairness as being correctness. There are a lot of things that the United States does that are not fair as well. Our corn exports are heavily subsidized. Our wheat exports, our barley exports. We're the number one producer of most of the grains on the planet. We used to be in the top three with Ukraine and Russia, but during this conflict, they're not participating in the exports. So it's 100% of the top three coming from the top one. We're producing a huge amount of grain, and a large amount of that is subsidized by the United States government. Now, we're not hearing massive complaints overseas from this. You're not hearing Germany saying, hey, you're going to put us out of business. You're not hearing North Africa screaming about it. There are some places that are upset. Eastern Europe doesn't like it because it lowers grain prices all the way around the world. But we subsidize our grain. Now, it's a thing that we're not in a great deal of competition with anyone else, but Russia didn't like it when we were pumping out our subsidized grain and they were pumping out just grain. So trade wars can come from all kinds of places. And there were a lot of times in the history of the United States that we subsidized steel and aluminum. It's just been a normal part of business for a long time. We don't like it when other people do it to us. What's a different way of approaching trades like this? Well, we could turn around and subsidize it ourselves. We could say to the steel makers, hey, we'll buy some portion of the steel because that's what China's doing. So we'll do that. We'll do that to our companies. That's also not fair, but it's something we could do. The problem is that we've signed agreements that we wouldn't do that with steel. And the other side of it is that we would have to find the money to subsidize the steel with. It's a much more effective way of causing jobs to appear in the steel industry is if there's more money available from the government to do it with than imposing a tariff on someone else. This is the weird part. The revenue position on subsidizing is that it costs the government money to subsidize a steel manufacturer. But they can make money off of the customers of steel by simply putting a tariff on it. It's a tax. Who pays the tax? The buyer. Who gets the money? The government. Does it go to the steel companies? No. Now, there are some things in the Inflation Protection Act, which, again, is going to get me in a lot of trouble here from both the Democrats and the Republicans. The Inflation Protection Act was a signature bill done by Joe Biden, and he was extremely proud of it. It's got a lot of really good stuff in it. I know I just said Joe Biden, and now I'm thinking it's really good. So a lot of people are going to start hating me on that already. The majority of what's in the Inflation Protection Act was written under the Trump administration and his infrastructure bill, and it was just taken straight over. So this is another example where there's not a lot of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans when it goes to where the rubber meets the road. Now, I do have a problem with the Inflation Protection Act in that it doesn't actually have anything at all in it about inflation at all. It's just another one of those Congress-devised names for a law to confuse the innocent, I guess. It's an infrastructure bill. It's for building roads. It's for building high-speed internet. It's for paying for new forms of energy. And I know a lot of people will say, well, why did we need to do that? Why did we need to subsidize or give tax credits to energy producers in wind and solar? Isn't it profitable enough already? Well, sort of it is, but not really. Because listen to this part. Most of the solar panels that are on the market in the United States were made in China. And the Inflation Protection Act says we will give money to the customer. This is the flip side of the tariff. We will give money to the customer. We'll give them a discount if they purchase American-made solar panels. So again, we're not talking about any difference between the Republicans and the Democrats here. They both agree on this. We just can't say it out loud or people are going to be upset or might change their mind on it because you can't be agreeing with the people on the other side of the aisle. The reality is, though, that effectively that is a better way to manage a trade war. To subsidize the buyer of the product rather than the product, because if we sell a solar panel overseas that was made in the United States, there's no government subsidy on it. We didn't make it cheaper for everybody else. We only made it cheaper for people in the United States. It's not unfair. It's a fair way of doing business. So when we approach tariffs, instead of giving a benefit to our citizens and customers, we're giving an extra tax to them, and everything becomes more expensive. And it's across the board. If you're thinking about needing to buy steel in the near future, do it now, because we're about to have a massive increase in that price. And that's kind of the bottom line to what I'm saying here. Trade battles never work out well for anyone. You do have a winner, and especially when tariffs are involved, you generally will have a winner somewhere. But the winner tends to be the one that lost the least rather than the one that gained the most. They feel good. Tariffs feel good, and they are extremely popular. Because if you told them, hey, we're going to raise taxes, nobody would think that was popular. But when if you say, I'm going to add a tariff to China, people go, oh yeah, then stick it to them, even though it's us that wind up paying the price. Now that I have thoroughly made everybody upset on both sides of the aisle, hopefully you can see some reality in there, that it's not about politics when we get into the prices of items. It's math. It's how we buy things. It's how we sell things. It isn't how we vote. We can vote with our money, but the reality is that both candidates right now are pro-tariffs. Joe Biden is a union guy that goes back as far back as probably three centuries or so. He's been helping the unions out. And Donald Trump has been a populist, formerly a Democrat, currently a Republican. And I know I'm messing with people's brains right now. They're saying this isn't the way it was or whatever. You can look back at the history of this. I'm not making up conspiracies. This is the reality of things, not three centuries. I'm being a little bit hyperbolic on Joe Biden's age. But I think we can all agree that he's the oldest president we've ever had. Though if Donald Trump wins this next time around, he will be the oldest first-term president even though this will be his second term, it'll be the first term on the new. You see where I'm going. It's very confusing. And politics is getting in the middle of economics so hard right now that pulling it all out and just looking at the numbers is something that everybody should do. Inform yourselves. If you would like to talk to me, Jake, or Jeff off the air, we actually do give investment advice and portfolio management to people of relatively high net worth. Our contact information is locally 254-947-1111, or you can go toll-free 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com, where you can read our newsletter, sign up for it. You can listen to podcasts going back a ways. You can even re-listen to the radio program going back years. I recommend that you listen to what we were talking about in 2018 and 2019 about the implications for inflation when you add taxes on top of things that you import. It's important to recognize that that is one of the many, many ingredients that make up the really nasty tasting cake that is inflation. You can also email or contact us on the contact form, jeff@tpwc.com and jake@tpwc.com. Until next time, this has been The Personal Wealth Coach.